Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 464. Science Faction, the different future.
Is this what happens after an angel visits me and explains to me what it was like if I was never born? Like, basically, everybody's really happy?
No, Damien, that is a silly question. This is what would have happened if the rapper named The Future had a different, maybe more traumatizing childhood, and the resulting different future that we would now have if that had happened.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's still a time travel story. We just have to be those time travelers who go back.
We change the past of the future.
Yes. It, you know what? Can we get Steven Spielberg on board?
Hey, he doesn't do time stuff.
If it's not World War II, he doesn't touch it.
And speaking of World War II, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy, and with me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. I just took a COVID test and came back negative.
Wouldn't it be great if you had a COVID test and it said, like, it came back and they're like, hey, it comes back. What are the results? It says negative, but you probably have chlamydia.
I was going to say herpes, but yeah, same joke.
Okay,
really,
yeah.
The same joke. but it came back negative, and I went in like, I consider myself a pretty tough guy. You know, I can take a lot of pain, but I was feeling genuine fear about having a Q-tip touch my brain.
Oh, really?
Like, and so I went in, and then they just did the nasal swab, and I was like, yeah, I wasn't afraid. Yeah, I mean, no, you're a total pansy.
It's uncomfortable, but it's not as bad as you think.
You know what, Bobby? I believe, I know, it's never been, I believe I have a deviated septum, which means I have like I have a Hank Hill urethra-esque nose hole, right? Now, the irony being is that I have a huge nose.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're worried about nothing. The nurse could get her arm up to her elbow in there. Like, what are you talking about?
You say that. It's just, that's the thing. Despite having this huge nose, it's like seeing a car with a blown engine, right? But finding out it only has like 12 horsepower. Turns out I've never actually been able to breathe out of my nose very well at all. This big show nose is for nothing.
Yeah, so it's less like the big blown engine, and it's like the guy who has, like, fake air intakes glued to the top of his hood.
Exactly. I was driving a Miata, and I did one of those body kits to make it look like I was driving a Viper.
Very, very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming back for Science Faction, and thanks for all the kind messages we have gotten. We have a few announcements coming up in the next few weeks that our Science Faction fans will want to hear, so pay attention. But for now, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
You know, if you're not going to mention you're just going to tease the fans.
I'm going to tease
and myself.
I'm teasing announcements. I'm teasing future announcements.
Like, you just like put it in, and I'm like, and I'm a little like, well, okay, he's surely going to put it back in, but you're teasing.
Yeah. I have been talking with some of the fans. I've been getting some emails.
The same emails that say that I need to do a better job and I call BS, right? The same emails?
No, those are usually profane laden and threats come along with them. These are our fans that write to me very kind things. And since COVID started, but especially since my illness started, I've been speaking with some of the fans on a little bit more regular basis because I was near a computer more often during the day. And I've been getting some pretty good ideas from them. And so Science Faction's going to have a few new things popping out pretty soon. Fan-inspired, so to speak.
Did a fan finally suggest dicks as a science, like dicks as the new intro euphemisms for dong? Because that's something I've been harping on for a bit, and it'd be nice to see a fan jump on board what I've been saying.
No, but number one request was more big nose talk, so we're already doing well.
All right, you know what, this still applies to me. I'm fine with it.
All right, article number one, open that sexy access.
Open that sexy access. Like, this sounds like the way robots try to catcall one another.
Hello, baby. Would you please open up that sexy access? Why were we programmed to be heteronormative?
I'm going to print all over your face.
I'm coding.
Oh, dear. All right, so let's talk a little bit about journals. We've talked about scientific journals before. If you want to think about it, technically the basis of this entire show is the academic scientific journal publishing industry. That's what we do. We take...
We're the shit end of the academic process. So, like, one day somebody comes with a hypothesis, they test it, they go through it the entire time, it gets reviewed, it finally gets published, and we're the shit end of that. Like, we are the garbage dump.
We really are. We're like, if you were to do one of those inspirational videos about the accomplishments of mankind, and it started with like one kid with a dream and he starts tinkering in his backyard and turns out to be the HP inventor guys, and then they keep going and there's people trying to send things to the moon, and it shows like the NASA thing, and there's a huge computer that's the size of an auditorium, and they're calculating things to get guys back from the moon, and thinking, and then like more and more shots of kids learning to code and the digital revolution and everything, and then at the end, at the very end, after you go through this monumentous thing with some Bach playing in the background, at the very end, it's just a dude looking up child porn on his phone. Like, what, like, this is the end result of all of this accomplishment.
Alex Jones, you were just gaslighting us the whole time. And it zooms out and it's Alex Jones.
I was just gaslighting everybody the whole time. I'm Jeffrey Epstein.
So we couldn't exist without the scientific journal, scientific publishing industry, and frankly, science couldn't exist and everything. So there is an extent to which that is an almost sacred cow to some people.
Sounds like you're in the pocket of big scientific publishing, as well as big sacred cow.
Yeah, big sacred cow actually paid me off much earlier, and they pay much better because they pay with sacred milk.
It's actually Liberty University's mascot, so it's...
Turns out sacred cow milk, just bull semen.
You know what? While I was bamboozled, I'm not complaining.
I'm covered in cow milk.
This is not the worst shake I've ever had. Okay.
I am the robot that milks the cows. This is how I come to.
Are you coding as well?
But we have talked on the show a little bit about the downsides of that publishing industry, including the fact that when you publish with them, then your article, your paper, is only accessible through them. So let's say you publish in one of the big bad boys, the biggest of them all, Nature, right? Well, then nobody who wants to read your paper can get access to it unless they have access to Nature. And most stuff in Nature is behind a paywall, meaning you have to have a subscription or something to be able to access it. And you might say, well, what is that, like 10 bucks a month? No. Actually, when it comes to scientific journal articles, those publishing companies have been kind of bought up. It becomes like Pepsi and Coke, like it gets bought up by different companies and gets conglomerated. So there's really like 2 to 3 giant scientific publishing companies, and they will license their stuff out. Right now, the University in California is in a lawsuit because they have forever had access to one of those major 3, basically, conglomerations of journals.
And they keep claiming to falsely be the best college in the Bay Area, and Stanford is...
Well, University of California is actually 12 campuses, Damien. But regardless, they've had access 15. To those... What? No, it's not. So regardless, they've had access to those for a very long time. They had some agreement in place. It was for some ungodly amount. Literally, I think it was like $120 million a year for those universities to have access to those journals, which, by the way, a lot of those journals were... The publishing was done by people from those universities in the first place and funded in those universities, but they have to pay a lot of money. And the publishing journals, they basically came out and they said, like, no, we're not, we need more money. And the University of California is like, we don't have any more. And they're like, too bad, now you can't use those journals. So basically, a huge portion of those journals are now cut off from students of those universities. It's a big deal because it's essentially a monopoly in a way. Like, if they have a specific paper, nobody else has that paper. And if you're trying to cite it or you're looking at research, you have to get access to it. And then you have to pay whatever the publisher is asking you to pay.
Couldn't you just plagiarize? I mean, theoretically.
Plagiarize?
Couldn't you just make things up? Andrew Wakefield did it, and that guy's a millionaire.
God damn it, Damien. We're not all in sociology.
But you could be.
So this is especially damning because a lot of times the public is actually paying for this research, whether they're paying publicly through funding of universities where the researchers are working, or they're publishing, they're actually paying for the research itself. Usually some of that comes from public. That was one of the impetuses to start this show, is that the general public does not have access a lot of times to the science that they end up funding. Well, a huge part of that is these big journals.
Like, for example, if we were keeping, I don't know, NFL tickets from every American, there would be hell if that was found out about. I think it's the fact that, like, yes, this is blatantly wrong. The fact that public funds are used and yet the public cannot access the science is ridiculous. However, This is America. If this was Europe, I think this would have been solved decades ago.
Yeah.
Your average American is happy. Like, oh my God, I get less science if I just, oh, that's fine. Oh, the nerds have to pay more money.
There'll be less things standing in the way of me and opening up schools.
Which I am suddenly for.
So there is this thing called Plan S, and that is basically an organization that their entire...
They're way more than Plan B, let me put it
that
way.
They will abort somebody else's kid.
Like, they'll take testicles out of scrotums. That is how much they are for contraception.
S stands for scrotum. So Plan S, their entire job is to get these, is to get researchers to publish in open access journals. That means journals that are open for everybody to look at. So when you're done with your work, that is available for anybody who wants to take a look at it. So one of the things they're doing right now, like one of the problems is those journals, you know, the big ones, especially Science, Nature, Discover, they don't want you to publish someplace else. They don't want you to publish open access because then they don't have a monopoly on that information. So journals usually have a little clause that says, if you publish in our journal, you can't publish anywhere else. You can't do anything else. You can't put anything else up.
But Highlights Magazine, I have a non-binding contract with Highlights Magazine for cartoons.
My research on how to find the elf in this line drawing.
This is unfair. I should be able to publish this publicly.
Basically, what Plan S is doing is they're going to be funding a bunch of research, and the research planning, the grant funding, comes with the condition that an AAM, which is an author's accepted manuscript, it's basically like a short version of your paper, has to be shared under like a public license to be seen by everybody. And this particular line, because it's part of the granting research, it's kind of like the grant funding, because it is essentially before the research is even done, it holds priority. So basically they have out-lawyer-balled the journals to the extent where this holds priority legally, meaning that if any researcher takes their grant, they are legally bound to publish open access. It doesn't matter what Nature or Discover or any of the big journals say.
There ain't no law saying a dog can't litigate. The case stands. This is an Air Bud sequel where he argues this exact case.
Where he's an attorney who fights the scientific publishing industry?
Yeah, it's actually a Legally Blonde 3 crossover because, you know, he's a gold.
Also because Reese Witherspoon has a producer credit on it, so.
She's an American treasure.
Now, I have to say, this will not necessarily help our issues with existing published articles. We have 100 years of scientific publishing that will still be behind those firewalls and behind those paywalls. However, in the future, as science continues, science will become more and more open, more and more public, more and more publicly available, and that's a really important thing. All right, on to article number 2, populations not so poppin'.
Are they lockin', though? I mean, we know, okay, so fine, but if low poppin' can be compensated with high lockin'.
Well, there's not a lot of poppin', there's not a lot of lockin'. However, there is some poppin' that is mixed with some rockin', which is totally fine and safe until you mix that with soda, in which case you will explode.
I say as I drop a soda can filled with pot I was about to mix with Pop Rocks, you hear a loud explosion in the background. Damien! Damien!
Hey man, don't joke around with that stuff. That's how the kid from Leave It to Beaver died.
I thought it was suicide.
No, I heard Vietnam.
But Pop Rocks were.
Yeah, it was Vietnam. He committed suicide in Vietnam with the Pop Rocks.
He just walked into enemy fire and said, I'm Leave It to Beaver. I defect. I'm going to pull a Jane Fonda.
It was actually really noble. It was like his entire platoon was surrounded, and so he was out of ammo, and at the last click, he just looked into his pocket, and he went, not today, and then some kind of racial slur I'm not going to say. Then he swallowed a bunch of Pop Rocks, swallowed a bunch of soda, and dove toward the Viet Cong, using his body as basically exploding shrapnel to take them out. He saved an entire platoon.
You know what? If you like the Happy Days references, get used to it, because we got Vietnam and Leave It to Beaver. How do more boomers not like this show? Oh, because we shit on them all the time, because they're the worst generation that we cater to.
All right, so let's talk about the state of the human population on Earth today. We are more than 7 billion and rising, suspected to continue to rise for some time. Thankfully, a new report out suggests that that rising might not last as long as we previously thought.
That's not fair. I really can't go to bars and hook up with people and plant seeds, Johnny Come Seed, all around town, like this coronavirus.
Are you angry that you're basically not able to be Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused, where you're just angry there's not going to be a large population of young chicks coming up below you?
It has been very hard to be a statutory rapist like Matthew McConaughey's character in that movie, thanks to coronavirus. Thanks, Obama.
So this new article suggests things are changing a little bit, and the reason might be birth control, family planning, change of societal goals, etc. What they say in a newly released paper is that they believe world population will likely peak in 2064, which is a couple decades earlier than we had previously thought, at around 9.7 billion, which is also about a billion less than we previously thought. And then they believe it to decline to about 8.8 billion by 2100. Again, that's still about a billion more people than we have on Earth right now, and we're already a little bit overpopulated at the time.
Now, what percentage of this has to do with the advent of sex robots?
I gotta imagine some of it is condoms, some of it is education, some of it is sex robots, and a lot of it is the availability in third world countries of the DVD box set of the HBO series Entourage, which just makes dudes look so douchey that nobody wants to have sex with them.
Dude, you're being a total turtle right now. Calm down, Ahmed.
Hey, has anybody noticed this series kind of makes dudes as bitchy and whiny as Sex and the City did for women?
Why is the camel the Vincent of this group?
Dear. So that's some great news in a lot of ways. The downside to these type of population shifts and the things people always worry about are things like, oh, the economy is not growing, which is true. The economy will not grow as we decline in people. However, the world will be much better off and those individual people will be much better off because you got to remember, however many resources you have, if you have 8.8 billion people, and you suddenly lose half those people, now everybody has twice as many resources. So as the population goes down, the resources available to any one person, assuming they don't go down with them, will continue to increase. So people's lives will get better over time, which is what we want. The Earth will take less damage per person over time, which is what we want.
But how will the wealthy do?
Better, probably, actually. I mean, the world is in general better when there's not horrible poverty in it. And the less people on Earth, the less likely you are to have horrible poverty. Because
oh,
that happens
you mean
with
there's less people to share with. This could actually be a good thing. I'm sorry, I'm a bad guy from an 80s movie.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go decide an incredibly important political decision based on a ski race I have with some young poor punk.
I'm the Secretary of Education now? Oh, this should be fun.
One of the things that really worries people is the shift in population to the old, meaning that as population declines, obviously there's less people being born, and then the average age shifts to being much older. One of the issues that can happen when that does happen is that all of a sudden, who's going to take care of all these old people, right? Not just in the sense of who's bringing them their apple juice, which is a problem in and of itself, but right now, in general, older people, infirm people are supported by active young workers in our economy, and if you have too few active young workers versus old retired people, the economy thing doesn't make sense. Now, that's something to worry about, and we should consider it. But also,
what if we were to give elderly people a disproportionate power in the voting booth?
Wait, they already do have that.
Huh. Well, then I can't solve this problem.
Well, at least they show up to the polls in like more regular numbers. But
old people demand breeding booths.
Somebody needs to take care of us.
I mean, there are steady declines. So it used to be like the replacement number, so the number of children that each family has, is going to go from about 2.37 in 2017 to about 1.66 in 2100, which will mean that we'll steadily have population decline because you have to have about 2.1 to have a replacement amount of population.
So that's like two kids and a dog. And the dog helps pick up the 0.1%. Or several hamsters.
You have to have 0.1% for population replacement because you have to account for the fact that some people are going to die or be unfertile or something like that. And so you can't just be two, which would be replacing yourself and your partner. You actually have to be a little bit over that. But regardless, the issue will be, you know, what do we do with workers? I think a lot of that will be changed by automation, including like how we take care of old people. We're going to have a lot more robotic nurse type things. And also, I don't know that everybody will have a job in 2100. I think by that point, automation will have taken over a lot of our jobs and roles, and the economy won't work in the same way our current economy goes. It's almost like going like, if you look back to in the year 1900 and thought from their perspective about the year 2000, and they're like, the problem is, if you look at New York City, the streets aren't wide enough for as many horse carriages as we're going to need, and we need better horse shit shovelers out here, so the future's really going to be screwed because of the horse shit problem and not enough horse carriages. And you'd be like, listen, I don't know how to explain this to you, but horse shit is not going to be a big problem in Manhattan in the year 2000, I promise you. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about, kid. This is the hustle and bustle of Manhattan. We got horse carts everywhere.
Or if you're the mayor of Jacksonville, Mississippi, in the 80s, and you're looking at the roads and you're thinking,
There ain't enough room for monster trucks going down this street, y'all. Listen, we need to increase funding. Monster trucks are the wave of the future. And throat ripping.
So I think a lot of the problems that we see with this population decline aren't necessarily going to be as problematic as we think, and the benefits will far outweigh them. If you think about it, most of the big problems we face as a human society are population problems. Famine.
If there were no people, there'd be no problems.
So yes, well, overpopulation problems. Like famine. Famine is an overpopulation issue. We can grow so much food on this planet, in this country, with so few people, it's like 1% of the people in the U.S. grow all the food, that there is no reason to have famine, except there are too many people to feed. If we had a more manageable population, there'd be no such thing as famine. There would be very little income inequality, because if there's enough resources for everybody, there isn't that inequality. Pollution and climate change are both complete overpopulation issues, because if there were already only, you know, 100 million people on the face of this planet, it wouldn't matter necessarily how much CO2 we were putting out, because it wouldn't be enough to cause those climate change issues. All of those things are overpopulation issues, and all of those things get solved when you no longer have a huge bustling population. Not to mention things like war, which come from scarcity of resources, and if there's no scarcity of resources, there isn't war. There's just all of this stuff that are large existential human problems are almost all, to some extent, overpopulation problems. Almost every one of those problems would be fixed if we snapped our fingers tomorrow, Thanos style, and had a population of 100 million people as opposed to 7 point something billion.
Maybe it's the narcissist in me, but, you know, when I was sexiest, our species was fucking a lot more. And now that I've become less sexy, our species is fucking a lot less. I feel like, just like the person who watches the NFL on Sunday and feels like they're watching makes a difference, I feel like, because I've let myself become unfuckable, nobody in the world wants to fuck anymore.
This seems like a justification that you are laying out for your girlfriend as to why you cheated on her. Listen, babe, listen, the world is not fucking right now because I am not fucking.
I have to start somewhere. And I imagine you had a look on your face that I just assumed you had a headache. I didn't even bother asking, if we're being honest. In fact, I don't even remember what color eyes you have. So
I had to start somewhere. And let's be honest, your sister is right over there.
And if we're being honest, yeah, there's some things you could learn. There's, you know, you're not perfect.
There's some things you can learn. Like, she has all these really sexy things she says, like, what are you doing? And you're my sister's boyfriend. Get the fuck off.
Yeah, let's make me a sexually problem character. That's right.
You're the new Joey Diaz.
Oh, my God. Bobby, you've got me canceled. And not any of the thousands of fucking things I've said before this moment.
Isn't it great when you're so low that canceling can't drop you any lower? Like, if somebody tried to cancel you or I, we'd be like, all right, I guess we got a few extra hours every week.
Wait, you mean even less people are going to listen to this podcast?
We just take the same dick jokes, but with no audience. And speaking of dick jokes with no audience, thank you so much for coming back for Science Faction 464, where you learned all about the new open access revolution and how the Earth's population is hopefully declining by 2100. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 465.
Dear Mr. Mercado, Highlights Magazine does not publish pornographic cartoons. Also, we found your submission extremely disrespectful to former First Lady Barbara Bush. She was not that flexible.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.